WRCR, AM 1300, Rockland County's hometown radio station.
The following program is furnished by its producer, host, and sponsors.
Everyone, thanks for tuning in. We are live in the studios, and you're listening to Health in 30 on WRCR AM 1300 Radio Rockland, and it's streaming live online at WRCR.com. I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra. Health in 30 brings you 30 minutes of the latest health and medical news and information with leading guest health and medical experts. Today, we'll be talking with Janice Spillane, registered nurse and editorial director of the Nursing Spectrum. And in honor of National Nurses Week, we'll be talking about the great contributions of nurses. Plus, we'll also delve into the topic of the present nursing shortage and what it means for you as a patient. Call in today with any questions or comments. The number is 845-624-1300. And I just want to start off by saying Happy Nurses Week to all those nurses out there. And joining us now is Janice Spillane. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Oh, I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. And I agree, Happy Nurses Week to all the nurses out there.
Great, thanks. Yeah, they sure do a wonderful job. Janice, before we delve into the topic of the nursing shortage and how that impacts patient care, let's first talk about the great contributions of nurses.
Well, I think that during Nurses Week, it's really appropriate to talk about and celebrate the contributions that nurses bring to healthcare and to patients every day. Many people may not know this, but nurses are really at the heart of healthcare. They're involved in almost every aspect of healthcare delivery, from the bedside care to research, education, information technology. They not only deliver the patient care, they coordinate the services of the team. That's the mainstay of today's delivery system.
That's a great point, because when we think of nurses, sometimes we just think of that nurse at the bedside, but there's so many other aspects to nursing, whether they're treating patients outpatient or in clinics. They're all over, so that's a great point. Who are some of the nurses that are making great contributions?
Well, actually, the nurses that are making the greatest contributions are the ones that are working in the hospitals today. There's major initiatives across the country by the Institute of Health and the Joint Commission of Accreditation and Medicare and Medicaid to reduce urinary tract infections, pressure ulcers, ventilated-assisted pneumonia, sepsis, medication errors. The list goes on. And nurses are central to all of these. Actually, it's the nurse, and what they're doing is the major contributor to patient outcomes.
Break that down a little bit for the listeners out there in terms of sepsis in the hospital. What does that mean?
That means that you get a blood infection, and you can get these from having central lines. That's a line that's put into your vascular system when you need to have continuous intravenous liquids given to you. And this is a major issue when many, many people die from this across the country every single year. And nurses have been really pivotal in trying to turn this around and coming up with new protocols to reduce the potential of getting sepsis.
Right, yeah, they're there on the front lines, and they see what goes on, and they are adamant about making change happen for the better, for the good of the patients, so things don't occur. What are they doing in terms of educating the public for patient advocacy issues in terms of if somebody is going into the hospital, what they can do to stay safe?
Well, I have to tell you that really the key persons today that do educate the public are nurses. They provide the majority of patient education. They do that in every avenue, starting at the physician's office, preoperative testing if they're going in for surgery. They do it while the patient's in the hospital. So they have a lot of opportunities to interface with the patient in many different settings, and all during that they're talking about not only issues that pertain to their own health care, such as diabetes or hypertension, they're talking about issues that really relate to the community as a whole, such as AIDS or the flu or whatever is the predominant issues for the community that they're in.
How have you seen, Janice, the nursing profession changed over, say, 20 years? Have you seen a big shift in the way the profession is now as opposed to, say, 20 years ago?
Well, absolutely. Today, care is delivered in a team approach. It's really multidisciplinary, and actually most chief nurse executives are now not only in charge of nursing, but in all clinical aspects of the hospitalization, all except physicians, that is. And the nurse is the coordinator of this team, and it's really this nurse who really brings all the disciplines together and has a concerted effort to address whatever the patient's needs are. Plus, there's, as you said before, so many more opportunities for nurses now. No matter what your interest is, there is a segment of nursing that that you can practice. So it's probably one of the widest varieties of potential jobs a nurse could ever have.
Right. And in terms of the multidisciplinary approach, it's really important for listeners to hear that nurses really work together with the doctors. It's not just doctors taking care of the patients, or it's not just the nurses, but it's that team effort between doctor, nurse, and pharmacy as well, and all the other different departments within a hospital to get that collaborative effort to provide the best care that they can for the patients. That's really important. What I would like to let the listeners really know that it's really both doctors and nurses, though, too, sharing their expertise for
the patients.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what's the future look like for nursing right now? Before we talk about the shortage, though, in terms of the media, in terms of patient education, where do you think the future is going?
Well, the future couldn't be brighter for nursing at this point in time. Not only are there many, many different opportunities for nurses to practice in, but they're also becoming much more involved in the delivery of patient care. If you go on for your advanced degree, become a nurse practitioner, you not only provide direct patient care, but you're actually diagnosing and treating those patients. Also, the whole area of geriatric nursing is wide open, and nurses have really taken a premier position in really coming up with new protocols to help the geriatric population live longer and to help them in their daily lives. And there's actually institutes such as the Hartford Institute associated with NYU and Brookdale Center for Healthy Aging and Longevity with Hunter College that are really very nursing focused for the geriatric population. There's a lot of initiatives going on. It really couldn't be brighter.
And when we think of nursing, we often think of Florence Nightingale. Who would you say is equal to Florence Nightingale, the nurse of today? Is there one person that comes to mind?
No, that's the really exciting part about nursing, is that the practice has really broadened so much. There isn't any one particular person. There are many, many people out there that are absolutely expert in their field, like Matthew Mazey in geriatrics. And in research, there's Peter Beerhouse when he's looking at the nursing shortage. So there's many, many experts. Because nursing, just like physicians' practice, it's so broad now that they've become rather specialized. So it's really hard for one person to be considered the overall spokesperson for the nursing profession.
Right, yeah, that's a great point. There are so many specialties to it. So, listeners may not really realize that, but there are so many different specialties. Like you mentioned, information technology, for instance. That's such a big field for nurses today.
And it's a brand new field that's opening up, and the younger generation, nurses in their 20s, it's an ideal position for them. And not only if you're computer savvy and you really like to work on the computer, but you have an opportunity to move over into research, you can do a lot of involvement in your hospital and tracking things such as incidences of disease and outcomes for patients. So there's a lot of great opportunities coming up, and every hospital has a website, and as you know right now, nurses have their own websites too.
Right, yeah. That is an exciting field, technology, because that'll only enhance and get more and more exciting as the time goes on. So that's really an exciting field for nurses. Now, to delve into the nursing shortage a bit, what's the reality of the nursing shortage for the general public that's listening now? What should they be concerned about?
Well, the shortage right now is In some areas it's worse than others, but in general there's an overall shortage of nurses of about 100,000 right now, and in some areas vacancy rates run from 3% to 8%. And really the areas that are really in demand are critical care nurses, operating room nurses, emergency room nurses, and even the general bedside nurse. It's really a field that there's lots of opportunities. By the year 2025, it's estimated that there'll be as many as 300,000 open positions in nursing. So for us, the baby boomers that are just about ready to retire, that has a lot of implications for us if we don't replace the nurses that are retiring and also train new nurses for the other people that are retiring and across the nation.
Right. If we don't replace them, patients aren't going to get the care that they need.
That's right. And even today, it's always a good idea if you're going into the hospital or if you're going to your doctor, bring somebody with you so you have two ears that are listening to what's going on. And because the reality is that your nurse doesn't spend lots of time with you in the hospital. I mean, probably the nurse who spends the most time with the patient is the nurse that's in home care, because that's where it's designed to do that. But today, everything is very, very tight in terms of nursing in regard to patients. So it's only going to get a little bit worse before it gets better.
Now, in California, they have standardized nurse ratios, nurse per patient. Do you feel that's a good idea of what California has? And is that working?
Well, there's a lot of controversy about whether it's working or not. Whether or not staffing ratios is very complicated, because not all patients are equal. You can have a patient that has a wound, and the wound is nothing more than a sterile dressing every day, but then you could also have somebody with a wound that requires a lot of irrigation, things like that. So to have a mandated patient-staff ratios is very, very difficult, and I don't think we're at the point that you can really say that it's a science and that the numbers will always come out right. California will be a good proving ground to see whether it works or not, but I know that's not something a lot of other states are jumping on right now.
Do you know if there's anything that the listeners can do in terms of trying to get more staff for the hospitals?
Well, one of the things that I would encourage listeners to do now is, if you are considering a second career, you might want to consider nursing. There's no other career where you can graduate from nursing school and make $50,000 or $60,000 a year and be guaranteed a job. The nursing will be the number one job in just the next few years. So you're really guaranteed longevity in your position, and even if your hospital closes or whatever, there is another job down the road. And I would also encourage, if you have a granddaughter or you have a daughter or a son that is interested in science, and I would suggest perhaps they look at nursing. It's an absolutely wonderful opportunity for any young person or second career person. And we have people as old as their 50s going into nursing.
If anyone out there is listening and they want to call in with a question or comment, the number is 845-624-1300. And if you're just tuning in or logging on, this is Health in 30, and I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra, and we're talking with Janice Spillane, registered nurse and editorial director of the Nursing Spectrum. And we're talking about the great contributions of nurses, and now we're talking about the nursing shortage. Call in with any questions or comments, 845-624-1300. Now, Janice, it is an excellent profession for young kids to think about and get involved in, but now, if they want to go to school, are there enough professors to teach them?
Well, you've hit the problem on right on the head of the nail. It is an issue today that the average age of our educator, nurse educators, are 56. So they will be retiring soon, but there's a lot of programs that are being tried out to try to ease that educational issue. One of them is the GAP program. The Greater New York Hospital Association is spearheading, and that's where they're training nurses in hospitals to become clinical instructors to reduce, the burden on instructors or professors within the college, that they don't have to do as many clinical courses. And they've just graduated their first class of nurses, and there's lots of hospitals in the greater New York area, and colleges such as Lehman College that are participating in this. It is an issue that we really do need to address, and that's a little bit of that is due to the fact that professors of nursing at this point in time don't make as much money as a nurse who's been at the bedside perhaps for as much as 10 years.
How can that change? How can the salaries increase to get those professors into the colleges and universities?
Well, I think we have to make a concerted effort to let our legislators know how important this issue is, and to start with state universities and really try to encourage them to raise the education level, I mean the salary levels of those educators. And we have to look at other opportunities for nurses. And one of the things that they are looking at is that a professor doesn't stay just perhaps just a professor, but they're also in there, have their foot in the clinical door as well, so that they have the ability to bridge both the clinical and the educational avenues.
You mentioned letting the legislators know. Is there some program out there right now where the listeners could go, or even health professionals can go to get involved with the legislators, or is it just by your district, or is there some one unified system where people can go to?
Well, you can certainly contact your own legislators in your own area, but this is a thing that many avenues, healthcare avenues like the Greater New York Hospital Association, the New York State Nurses Association, and associations like that that do lobby their legislators in Albany. And you can certainly join them when they have lobby days. And they have those at various times throughout the year to bring legislators up to date on what the issues are with the nursing profession.
Mm-hmm. Because that seems really to be the critical issue. Because now if we have these young men and women or these young kids that really want to go into nursing and really make a difference in the lives of patients, if we have those people there that want to do this but no one now to teach them, that's going to be that's a crisis, really. So I'm hoping that'll change soon, because as the baby boomers, I mean, baby boomers are already here, and the aging just keeps increasing. You know, what's going to happen to all these people?
Well, there's a lot of people looking at this issue right now, and a lot of studies are being done. Mm-hmm. And I think that efforts such as the Johnson & Johnson effort and their Discover Nursing program, where they are providing monies for nurses to go back to school for advanced degrees, mm-hmm. It's going to help in this area. And programs such as the GAP program will also help. And hospitals themselves to really support nurses at the PhD level, and many, many hospitals now are employing nurses with doctorate degrees, and they have a very active role in the hospital, and many of them are also teaching. So I think that there are activities underway that will help to lessen the this impact of when these educators retire.
Well, that's good news. Now, the nursing shortage, though, affects the United States in general, but is there certain areas of the country where it is affecting patients more than in, you know, one area, say the East as opposed to the West? Is there, or is it just general?
I think that the nursing shortage is universal, not only in the United States, but worldwide. There is a shortage of nursing overall. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that there is a shortage in more, perhaps in areas geographically than in others, but I really can't speak to that. I do know what the climate is here in the New York area, and hospitals have taken great efforts in actually forming partnerships with universities to graduate nurses and have internship programs for new graduates, even when they're in their junior year, to get familiar with the hospital and the process of healthcare. So we've had a lot of great activity where hospitals are really, really trying to generate nurses within the community.
Now, when the young nurse graduates from school and she starts, or he starts in the hospital, how long do they stay? Do you know offhand, is there a time frame where before they get burnt out, they end up leaving and do something else, or do they pretty much stay around within the hospital?
Well, if you were to talk about 5 years ago, you heard a lot about burnout, but mm-hmm. hospitals have come a long way in really improving the working environment, even with the current shortage that we have. Hospitals are bringing back some retired nurses. They're also using staff on a part-time and per diem basis. So I think that nurses that are graduating today have a better working environment than they did perhaps, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. And they are staying longer at the bedside, and they are staying at the hospitals. It is a profession that many young nurses now are being mentored. So it is a profession where they feel that they have somebody working with them side by side, so as they develop their skills, they feel that they are part of a nursing community, and that may not have been something that was there, you know, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Are there residency programs now for new nurses?
Yes, hospitals, especially in the greater New York area here, do have residency programs of up to a year where nurses are working with mentors throughout that entire period, learning new skills, honing the skills that they have, and really learning the different aspects of nursing, because as we all know, when you graduate from college, you have a great body of knowledge. Now it's the issue of learning how to apply that knowledge at the bedside, and that's where these more experienced nurses really come into play.
Right. You're exactly right. And that's such a great idea, the residency programs, because you do learn so much in school, and then all of a sudden you get out there and you're trying to juggle so many patients and so much technology, and it's a lot different than in school. So these residency programs must be making great strides with the young students.
They are. One of the things I'd like the listeners to know about is the fact that every year, Nursing Spectrum and its West Coast magazine, Nurses Week, we have a nurse excellence program where we honor nurses that are nominated by their peers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have thousands of nominations across the country, and each of our divisions pick perhaps 30 to 36 nurses to honor in the area of clinical nursing, teaching, mentorship, leadership, management, and volunteerism, and community nursing. And we celebrate these nursing achievements each year with a gala, and we have selected 30 nurses this year. And we will be having on June 5th our gala, but there'll be these celebrations across the United States. And the nurses that are being nominated for this are extraordinarily gifted nurses. These are people that don't view nursing as a job, but as a calling, or you know, is something that means a lot more to them than just their paycheck. The things that they're doing are unbelievable. They're working with AIDS patients, they're developing new programs, they're putting in place legislation, such as a person in New Jersey recently started a program where you can't smoke in the car, and there was if you have a child, and that was adopted by a local town. So nurses are doing wonderful things, and nurses, their own colleagues, are supporting them and nominating them for recognition, and it's a wonderful
thing. That's great. And that's great how you said too, how the colleagues support them. That's so wonderful that everybody's working together, and how the Nursing Spectrum highlights these nurses that have great excellence in their careers. That's really a great thing for all the listeners out there to know that nursing is a really powerful profession, and they are making a difference every day with patients at the bedside and patients in the community and everyone. So that's a great thing that you highlight that, Janice, in the Nursing Spectrum. And the website for the Nursing Spectrum, if anyone's interested in looking online,
is www.nurse.com, and our Nurses of Excellence are posted on the website, and you can read a little bit about what they've done and what they've contributed to nursing and to patient care and why they were nominated.
Great. Thanks. Janice, for the listeners, if there's one or two issues that you would like them to really hone in on right now, what would it be?
I would ask listeners to really encourage people within their community, their daughters, their sons, their granddaughters, their friends, to consider nursing as a profession, and to really tell nurses out there that they appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Janice. And happy Nurses Week to all those nurses, and happy Nurses Week to you, Janice.
And to you, Barbara.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay.
And listeners, as always, if there's a health topic you want to know more about, email us. Go to contactus@healthin30.com. And don't forget, if you have a health question, send it in to healthin30.com, and the experts will answer it. And next week, tune in on Friday at the same time, 5:30 p.m., Dr. Carl Sullivan, psychiatrist, addiction specialist, professor, and vice chair of the Department of Behavioral Medicine and Psychiatry at West Virginia University School of Medicine, medical director of the substance abuse programs for West Virginia University Hospitals, will join me to talk about nicotine addiction. You can listen live online or on 1300 AM WRCR. Just a quick note as well. May is National Melanoma Screen Cancer Awareness Month. Just a reminder, check out your own skin. If you see anything different, go get it checked by a dermatologist. And as always, you can schedule your own checks with them as well. Thanks for listening. And for more info and upcoming shows, keep a check here, healthin30.com. As always, take charge of your health. Speak up and ask questions. I'm Barbara Ficarra for Health in 30. Have a great week. Stay safe. See you next week.
Seven is not just a statistic. It's a woman who avoids prenatal care and is forced to deliver in the ER. It's a grandfather who chooses his blood pressure meds over his Parkinson's meds because he can't afford both. It's a friend who fears going bankrupt if she ever gets sick. One out of seven Americans is uninsured. To the American Medical Association, this is not just a statistic. It's a tragedy. But while one out of seven of us aren't covered, all of us have access to a voting booth. Make sure you vote with this issue in mind. Learn more and share your voice at voiceforTheUninsured.org. That's voiceforTheUninsured.org, because one out of seven is 45 million too many.
AM 1300, WRCR, Spring Valley.
AP Radio News. I'm Ross Simpson. Barack Obama continues to erase Hillary Clinton's lead among Democratic superdelegates. Nine endorsed Obama for president today, allowing him to pull within a half delegate of her lead. The Democratic presidential rivals have been campaigning just a few miles apart in Portland, Oregon. Obama has been keeping his focus on the likely GOP nominee, criticizing John McCain's economic policies.
When I heard him say that he had surveyed the Bush economic record over the last 7.5 years and concluded that we had made great progress, I was curious about who it was that he was talking to, because I think he's dead wrong.
Hillary Clinton has been pointing out her differences with Obama over health care. Myanmar's military leaders have agreed to let some U.S. aid come into the country to help those cyclone survivors.
A Pentagon spokesman says the military junta will let one American cargo jet into the country to offload relief supplies. The U.S. has been staging planes brimming with aid material in neighboring Thailand while waiting to see if the isolationist regime would allow American help. Myanmar's rulers have been under international pressure.